Broad topics, broad minds, broad hosts, but not just for broads. This is Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal.
The internet is buzzing with dad bods. But did you know the discussion was all started by a 19-year-old college student? We talked to Mackenzie Pearson.
Plus, a 15-year-old girl with autism tossed off a United Airlines flight. Shame on you. What really happened and what can special needs parents do to advocate for their kids? Attorney and advocate Areva Martin takes listener questions.
And a young man with autism will open your mind and make you laugh.
Plus, a stay-at-home mom takes on Target.
What?
And wins. Hear her incredible story. We're taking your calls, 661-298-5487.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Broadcast.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming. So I'm wicked excited, as we would say in Massachusetts. I'm wicked excited for the show. I think it's going to be...
Can you say it with the accent?
I am wicked excited for today's show because it's awesome. Anyway...
Why is it going to be awesome?
Because I think that it's the perfect balance of doing some good work, mm-hmm. getting the word out, having a good time, being entertaining. So let's stop talking about it.
Go.
Let's just go to it.
Go.
Right? So a 15-year-old girl kicked off a United Airlines flight. She, according to her mother and many, many reports, she was hungry. She got a sandwich. The sandwich wasn't hot and, as a mother with a child with autism, like, I understand some people are like, well, kid, just deal with it. But like, it's physically not possible sometimes for somebody to deal with it,
right.
You know, and I think that's part of the thing that we don't understand. So I guess she was moaning or being disruptive, but no threats,
right.
nothing like that. I mean, most of the people on the plane
didn't even know
it was happening or don't understand why she was led off, except for this one woman I read about, which I don't even want to bring up her name because she gets so much hate mail or who said she should have been taken off, but we'll ignore her.
So the plane was diverted.
I mean, they landed just to get this girl off.
And
like,
the police
came
and said that the captain has asked for your daughter to be removed from the flight.
Correct.
Right, right.
Correct.
Right.
And it's just, I'm a little emotional about this because,
well,
like, as a child, I mean, as a parent with a child with special needs, like, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, I know that they were high maintenance, and I know that maybe they were disruptive to the flight attendants because they kept asking. They asked for food from first class. They said no. And the woman just kept trying to come up with, according to her, the mom, she just kept trying to come up with other solutions. Like, what if we tried this? What if we tried this? I mean, that's what you have to do.
Right. But did it escalate to the point that, I mean, the whole reason that they removed the young girl and her mother from the flight is that she was a threat to the safety of the passengers.
Yeah.
So did it escalate to a point that people felt threatened? Or is this just what we do now? The second that someone on a plane gets a little uncomfortable or a little irate or a little buzz, that we just remove them?
Right.
And inconvenience. I mean, what's more of an inconvenience, having a young girl on a plane be hungry and crying and emotional, or having to divert the entire plane from one airline to another airline and have your plane derailed?
And she wasn't making any more noise than like a young child would be making.
Right.
We are going to talk to advocate Areva Martin, but first I want to just get a quick opinion. We have on the phone, everyone knows him on Twitter as Tanner's dad. I want to get his take on the subject. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. So what do you think of this story?
Well, this is a situation where it's a 2x4 upside the head when you get a diagnosis and you have a child with special needs and you're always fighting for services, and then you probably invest a lot of money and savings and planning to get to go on a trip to Disney World. I guess that's where they were on their way back or to. And it's just frustrating to me that people are actually suggesting that we end up having a second type of airline for people with special needs. And so we're developing a class of another second class that rides at the back of the bus. And so it's just very viscerally upsetting to me, the whole situation.
Absolutely. And I haven't heard anything from United speaking out.
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't United support causes that support kids with special needs, and don't they? I feel like I've seen those ad campaigns. I mean, I don't know that that United has made an official statement yet that I've noticed, but I do believe that in my yeah. my life working in this field too, that I've seen that United has supporting kids with special needs.
Well, you know what? Money and your actions are two totally separate things. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. We're going to talk to Ariva Martin. She's with us on the phone. Good morning, Ariva.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
So let us just preface this by saying you are an attorney, you're an advocate, you are the author of The Everyday Advocate, Standing Up for Your Child with Autism and Other Special Needs, and you are the founder and president of Special Needs Network, and you are a friend to Jackie and I, so thank you. We have 1 minute before we go to breaks, but we're going to bring you back after break, but what do you think? I mean, what do you think of this story?
I think it was a massive misunderstanding.
Okay.
That's how what I've read suggests to me that the mom made a statement, and unfortunately that statement was misinterpreted by the airline staff, and she was never given an opportunity to clarify that statement. And let's face it, in this post-9/11 world that we live in, airlines are hyper, hyper sensitive.
Right.
And there's certain words that you say on a plane, and without doubt, you can guarantee you will be thrown off an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And there's good reason for that. But in this case, it looks as if no one took the time to really understand what was happening and took some action to avoid this entire family from being thrown off this plane.
So Ariva, do you think that it was the fact that she was autistic, or just the fact that this woman said something that alerted the people on the plane and make them think that it was an unsafe situation?
Yeah, hold that thought. We're gonna talk more about it when we come back.
Oh, I just teased it.
Yeah, you totally did. We'll be right back with Ariva Martin taking your questions.
Why should you become a broadcast sponsor? Broad multimedia exposure, including radio, web, iTunes, YouTube, and social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A quick, easy way to reach your target demo, women. Exclusive, limited time only, affordable introductory rates.
Plus, 20 years experience in on-air and online marketing. We produce your one-of-a-kind creative in-house, saving you time and money.
For more on becoming a broadcast sponsor, visit broadcast.com today.
You're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal. Two broads with faces made for radio.
Welcome back. If you are just joining us, we have Special Needs Network founder and president Ariva Martin on the phone. She's also the author of The Everyday Advocate, Standing Up for Your Child with Autism and Other Special Needs. So, Ariva, before we went to break, I asked you if you thought that the situation on the plane was directly related to the young girl being autistic, or if it was just because the mom made a stink and maybe the airline stewardess thought that it was unsafe.
Did I just say stewardess? What are you, in 1972?
Oh, my God.
Flight attendant.
Oh, my gosh.
Crew member.
Airline craft technician. Okay.
Crew member.
So what do you think?
I don't think it had anything to do with her autism. In fact, what we know about this family is that this young girl has flown extensively, internationally as well as domestically, and we know as parents, I know as a parent of a child with autism, that kids with autism fly all the time. And I've been on planes with my own son who's had meltdowns. I've watched other kids have meltdowns. And I haven't seen crew members or flight attendants or pilots single kids out with autism to discriminate against them. I have seen other passengers get irritated because the kids are making noise, but I've also seen them get irritated with typical kids or loud and, you know, kind of unruly on planes. So I just think there's a general lack of acceptance on the part of adults when they're around kids, particularly, you know, kids who are sometimes loud.
Right.
I think this situation, though, really went astray very quickly after the mom made the statement about scratching either her own eyes out or someone else's eyes out.
Oh.
And again, being that we're in this post-9/11 planes and plane staff and crew members are extremely hypersensitive about anything happening on a plane that could cause harm to the other passengers or the flight crew. And I even saw a post from a pilot, female pilot, who's also the mother of a child with autism. And she herself said, you know, it's a very delicate balance that we have to maintain as pilot, and she thought that this pilot made the right call.
Hmm.
And she says that's how they're trained. They're trained that if there's any threat or appearance of a threat, with respect to passengers, that you take what may be an extreme action, but you take that action because if there's something that goes wrong, you're going to be blamed as the pilot for not having taken, you know, the appropriate action.
Right.
I just wish in this case they could have had more dialogue.
Exactly.
You know, the mom could have said, look, she's calm. I didn't mean that statement. She's not aggressive. She's not violent. She's not going to scratch anyone's eyes out or her own eyes out. And she will be fine. You know, give me an opportunity to continue with the flight. But it looked as if by the time the authorities had been called, there was no opportunity for much discourse.
Right. So do you think the fact that they're drawing so much, the media is drawing so much attention to that the young girl's autistic bodes well for advocacy and dialogue about autism, or does it paint a negative picture? Does it say, oh, all autistic kids can't travel? I mean, what kind of conversation do you think in a positive or negative light has generated from this topic?
Well, as much as I hate to see these stories and my heart bleeds for that family, I think it's a good thing for the autism community because it keeps the concept, it keeps the issues, it keeps the challenges of autism on the folks of people who are in a position to make changes. So I would expect that the United staff at this very moment are looking at their policies and hopefully talking about how they better handle these situations, what kind of training do they need to assist parents, you know, what kinds of flexibility do they need with respect to their rules about serving hot food from first class, et cetera. So I don't think this harms our community. I think it helps our community because what we know is that there's so much education and so much awareness that still needs to take place. And the only way that can happen is if you have these kinds of stories constantly reminding big companies, airlines, movie theaters, department stores, grocery stores, you know, churches and every other public place where you're going to be, the importance of people educating themselves and training their staff.
And Areva, I mean, you make a great point, and this can be, you know, the catalyst for conversation and for understanding, and that's what we have to keep pushing. But I think it also should remind people to stop making flip comments when you're on a plane, you're in the airport. Like, people think it's funny. Or maybe she wasn't thinking it was funny at the time. She wasn't like making one of those off. But you have to really choose your words because they are at, you know, heightened security and concern. So I think that's...
Yeah, and I think this mom was frustrated, you know. Yeah, we've all been there. You know, she's got this teen daughter who's irritated. They had a long layover in Houston. So it was just like a perfect storm, you know, all things coming together for a bad ending. Obviously, super educated. You know, this is a doctor who's a big advocate herself around poverty issues. So she knows how to address these issues. And I just think, you know, she got the best of her. Her situation got the best of her.
Right. So we only have about a minute left, but tell us about what's happening this weekend. You have an event going on.
Yeah, we're excited. We're celebrating our second Pink Pump Gala, an opportunity for bringing together 300 of LA's powerful corporate executives, along with nonprofit leaders, folks who work in the entertainment business, all coming together to stand up for kids with autism and special needs and to raise money for our very special Camp JPAC program. Every summer we send 300-plus kids to a free summer camp, and this event is how we raise money for the camp and how we continue that dialogue and continue to educate our audience about kids and the challenges that families face. So
that's fantastic.
We're honoring our Attorney General, Kamala Harris, along with some great women in news and broadcast journalism like Pat Harvey and Dorothy. It's going to be a fun and very empowering event.
And people can learn more at specialneedsnetwork.com?
Yes, no, specialneedsnetwork.org.
Of course. Specialneedsnetwork.org. Areva Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
Areva. Good luck.
We'll be right back with
Christopher
Tenney.
Yeah.
A young man with autism who uses his life story in a creative and hilarious way.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When Broadcast was looking to relaunch our website, we knew exactly who to call. The team at Stark Social Media.
At Stark Social, they understand the importance of a strong online presence.
From marketing and branding, web design, and social media, the in-house team listens to their clients' needs and budget and responds with a tailor-made plan for your small business, nonprofit, or startup.
Stark Social's philosophy is simple: do good work, and they live by that philosophy every day.
Stand out from the competition and contact Stark Social Media today at starksocial.com.
You're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal. They're huge in anywhere other than somewhere that you've been before.
Welcome back to Broadcast with Kim and Jackie. So, Chris Tenney, he is an actor. He is a comedian. Mm-hmm. And he's also a young man who has autism, and he's joining us today. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, it's Kim and Jackie, actually. How are you?
Well, you got two Kim for the price of one. Hello, Jackie.
Hello. Hi. So do you go by Chris or Christopher?
I usually go by Chris.
All right, so we'll call you Christopher.
Thank you.
Totally kidding. So, you know, before we get into what you are doing, so can you give us a little bit of background? Like, how old were you when you were diagnosed with autism?
I was diagnosed with autism around, three and a half? Yeah, I think three and a half.
Okay.
And at age six, I was diagnosed with optic rectalitis, which means I had a pretty crappy outlook about the whole thing.
So, I mean, you're clearly already letting people know the comedian side of you. So, but I love how, and Kim and I were watching a stand-up routine you did at Best Buddies event.
At the leadership conference. Hey, Chris, did you know I used to work for Best Buddies, by the way?
Oh.
I did. I ran the California office. It was before you were famous.
but your comedy is... It's so refreshing, and it's so honest. And so you use, you know, your life experiences, you use your autism diagnosis, you use so many, you know, in your comedy. So at what age were you realizing, like, hey, this can be fun and funny?
Bit recently, like maybe 2019.
Yeah, and so how did that happen? That's all right. So were you always a funny guy?
Well, my dad always said I was, and I have to admit, I did make a lot of people genuinely laugh when I wasn't trying to. So,
you know what? I have a 10-year-old, almost 11-year-old with autism, and he has the best sense of humor of almost anyone I've ever met. I mean, he's super clever. Like, and in watching you, it just kind of filled my heart a little bit, you know, because I told him this morning, I'm going to talk to somebody who, you know, was diagnosed with autism, who's a stand-up comedian, and his eyes opened wide, and he was so excited to hear about it. So, I mean, at some point, I'd love to, you know, introduce you, you know? But, I mean, tell us, where has your life gone since this comedy?
Acting. All of it. Career.
Well, just last week, I... shot a commercial for Oscar Mayer.
Oh, that's
cool. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you did a Wienermobile?
Not in a Wienermobile, but let's see. It was like a couple weeks ago, maybe a month. I was in a commercial for Little Caesars National, aired just after the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
And you did and you did a short film too, correct?
Yeah. The autism thing, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So can you tell us a little bit? So growing up, I mean, I don't want to out your age, but you're in your early 20s, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so growing
up... I'm just saying it.
24, all right. So what kind of challenges did you face as a young man with autism, you know, 15 years ago, let's say, when you were in elementary school or junior high? What kinds of things did you have to deal with?
Well, let's see, in middle school... The administration wasn't exactly all that good with meeting my needs. Mm-hmm. They gave me a one-to-one, but they kept changing it like every, 3 weeks?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Right. Finally, you know, transition's easy and all.
So did you...
switch to a school called Village Glen. I don't know if anyone's heard of that.
Okay.
Anywho, I had to switch over to them.
Right.
Which basically is a school purely for people on the spectrum.
And for people on the spectrum. So let me ask you a question. So if you could tell your 15-year-old self some advice, what do you think you would, what would you tell yourself now as a young, successful man? What would you go back and tell yourself when you were dealing with some of those struggles when you were a little bit younger? Can you, would you be able to do that?
I honestly do not know, because I tend to overthink a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I end up worrying about, you know, Sound of Thunder, right?
Right.
Well, Step on a Butterfly, Change the Future.
Right.
I told myself advice. I have no idea what that would do for me. So, honestly, I'd probably just say stay the course because, you know, if I change my past, I may not end up being a stand-up comic or
right.
What have you.
And so a young kid who's, you know, looking at you as a role model and maybe believes that he or she can do anything, what would you tell them? How would you encourage them to...
Okay, that I can do. Well, I would tell them, you know, work hard, mm-hmm. find something you're good at.
And it sounds like stay the course.
Yeah, that and find something you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Work toward it. Life is not easy. So I'm shattering that illusion right now.
Well, we are just, you know, extremely impressed and really love your spirit and your sense of humor. And we thank you so much for coming on broadcast and talking to us, Chris. And where can people learn more about you? Do you have a website or anything or a YouTube?
I'm on YouTube under Autistic Chris.
Okay.
Well, we'll definitely...
We'll make sure we put a link to that on our website, too.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Chris Tenney. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for having me. Okay. And it was good to be on your show.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you soon. All right. When we come back, the dad bod and why the ladies seem to like it. And is it a big, fat, wonka wonka double standard? We'll be right back. Taking your call, 661-298-5487. Today's broadcast is sponsored in part by Girard Cosmetics, a cosmetics line created for women by women who empower each other and strive to offer products that are luxurious, accessible, and endlessly chic. For a limited time, get an exclusive 30% off site-wide. Visit GerardCosmetics.com/shop and enter promo code BROADCAST and follow at Girard Cosmetics on Twitter.
And Whitening Lightning, a staple for Hollywood celebs and top YouTube influencers, Whitening Lightning's famous Dial-A-Smile kit is recognized all around the world as the best way to whiten your teeth in just 20 minutes. For an exclusive 30% off site-wide, go to WhiteningLightning.com/shop and enter promo code BROADCAST. Girard Cosmetics and Whitening Lightning. Easy, quick ways to boost your beauty and confidence.
You're listening to BROADCAST with Kim Goldman and Sweet Little Jackie.
Back to BROADCAST, 661-298-5487. The internet is going abuzz. It's a buzz. It's this dad bod thing is everywhere. And it's what's really funny is that it's all over the parenting sites. It's all over, you know, it's just everywhere. Slate and all,
yeah,
the,
sugar,
all the big
sugar,
guns.
I
yeah.
I
so,
don't know. I'm so
but
not
the,
hip.
But what's, excuse me, really interesting to me is that this whole thing originated as a post by a 19-year-old Clemson student.
Right.
Mackenzie Pearson, and we have her on the show today. Welcome, Mackenzie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So, dad bod, you originally heard this term from your roommate.
Yeah, I did.
And for those living under a rock, why don't you explain what a dad bod is?
Okay, the dad bod is a guy's physique, and it's someone that was really muscular at one time, but kind of has developed a little bit of maybe a layer of flab over it or a layer of fat, and it's just the average male body type that you see every day.
And the women are, the girl,
wait,
I mean,
topped off with the beer belly. I thought that was the best part, right?
Yeah.
But this is something you're talking about in college as the body
yes.
type, the hot body type.
Yes.
But why is it a dad bod? Like, why isn't it just a man bob? Like a man bob.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, it's that particular body type that you see more on college guys. I started looking around with my friends, and we were like, hey, our friends are dating guys that look like this. And it became more and more apparent that those were the guys that were, you know, going out on Thursday nights to $2 tacos or going in, out on the weekends and enjoying football games and tailgating with you rather than the guys that were in the gym every night and, you know, took themselves a little too seriously. It was someone that we saw as the regular guy, the guy that you were best friends with and the guys that our friends were dating.
So is it the body type really that you're, that is the interest, or it's the type of guy who enjoys a little balance in his life and knows how to have a good time? And he just so happens to have that body.
Yeah, I think it's kind of both, because I think with that body type comes that guy, because I think that the body type is like is a reflection of that kind of guy, but I think that kind of guy also is the guy that's going to wear that body type and wear it confidently, and those are the guys that we tend to be attracted to, especially as, you know, 20-something-year-old girls.
So when you wrote this post, did you have any idea that GQ and Washington Post and New York Magazine and Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, like, did you realize that it was going to have this kind of these legs underneath it?
Not at all. I actually wrote it. I write an article once a week for The Odyssey and was writing it for that week and actually wrote it back in March. And then it caught fire in April, and I had so many people that were suddenly reading it, I ended up actually doing a follow-up piece and writing a mom bot article, which was just a really different tone. But I started realizing it got picked up when my editor texted me, like, on a random Thursday morning. She was like, hey, your article has 5,000 shares, and it was actually during my finals week. So it ended up going viral during my finals,
wow.
And I had people trying to contact me and stuff. So I kind of put my phone off, actually. When I turned it back on, I realized all these people were writing about it, and it was just this complete whirlwind from there.
And we're going to talk about the mom bod in the next segment, but I want to hit upon a few points that you made, because you mm-hmm. said that, you know, women like the dad bod because mm-hmm. She doesn't feel like she feels pretty next to him and she's not intimidated. And one thing that you said was, if he's this way now, you kind of see into the future of what he'll look like in his 30s and 40s. I'm here to tell you, as the Mackenzie from Christmas Future, that you are not guaranteed that he will look like that in his 40s, you know. But we also have Tatiana here, who is, you know, what, in your 20s?
Yeah.
And what do you think, you know, talk to Mackenzie, what do you think about the dad bod being a few years older than she is?
I would say I'm actually into more of the dad bod.
Really?
I've dated guys that have, like, a really great physique, but they're boring and douchey and have, like, no personality. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with you. But it's guys that, like she said, like, more of the regular, like, can eat tacos, like, can have a couple of beers and maybe go to the gym maybe just twice or three times a week. They're, like, more relatable, and you do feel a lot more comfortable with them.
Right.
So I'm actually more attracted to
I was going
to
say, I don't think Kim likes a dad bod.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I do not like the chiseled thing at all. I used to say, I still say it, the chiseled bod, I don't want to date someone that has bigger boobs than me. And so if your pecs are jugging, I don't. But now
that really limits a lot of men.
But the problem is now with the dad bod, we're going to be sharing bras. Right? So I have to find somewhere in between. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. His idea of a date is not at the gym.
But, you know, what I do like is the fact that you're 19, right?
Right.
You're 19 years old, and you already get the quality man. So it's not about the body. It's not about the physique. And maybe he'll go up in weight. Maybe he'll go down in weight. Maybe he'll, you know, jump on P90X for 3 months because he feels like it. Like, but it does. It's that's not what it's about. What I love is that young women are realizing it's about a guy who has some depth. It's about a guy about a guy who knows how to live life, who has balance, who enjoys living and you know what I mean? Like, I think that when I was in college, it was always like, oh, is he hot or is he this? And like, I always liked the underdog. Well, I always liked that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I also think that Mackenzie's point is that, you know, they're not taking themselves too seriously, that you're more focused, that you're willing to go out and have a couple beers and a couple pieces of pizza or whatever and not freak out that you've skipped your gym appearance for the day.
But it's a double standard.
Absolutely.
It's a double standard.
And I think
we're going to talk about that because we have to go to break.
Is Mackenzie staying with us?
Yes, Mackenzie's going to stay with us because we want to talk about your mom bod article and talk about the double standard a little bit.
All right. So stay tuned. 661-298-5487. We'll be right back.
Why should you become a broadcast sponsor? Broad multimedia exposure, including radio, web, iTunes, YouTube, and social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A quick, easy way to reach your target demo, women. Exclusive, limited-time-only, affordable introductory rates.
Plus, 20 years' experience in on-air and online marketing. We produce your one-of-a-kind creative in-house, saving you time and money.
For more on becoming a broadcast sponsor, visit broadcast.com today.
You're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal. The most riveting hour of anything you've ever heard.
Welcome back to Broadcast here on KHTS.
Hi, we're here with Mackenzie Pearson.
Yes, and she is the original dad bod poster. Welcome back, Mackenzie.
Welcome.
So you also wrote, as you said earlier in last segment, you also wrote a post about mom bods.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting is, did you get 5,000 shares in the first, you know?
No.
why do you think that is?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. The mom bod did come out a little bit later after the dad bod kind of blew up. Mm-hmm. And I think the mom bod, too, has a really different tone than the dad bod article. The dad bod's very fun, very lighthearted, and the mom bod is too, in a way, but it's a little bit more relatable, I think, for women than it is for men.
I find it interesting because I think that your two posts sort of are a perfect example of how the dad bod and the mom bod are received from the public.
Exactly.
You know, the dad bod is like, woo, he's hot. Like, we are actually celebrating him as a hot sexual being for who he is. And the mom bod, as much as I love that, like, with you talked about your mom and her tiger stripes and, you know,
right.
We wear our mom bods as this badge of honor. Like, we've been through a war,
right.
You know,
right.
And we came out on the other side and we've survived the mom bod.
And we're still not skinny enough.
Right. Like, it's like we're supposed to accept ourselves, and yet the men are encouraged to look at themselves in the mirror and be proud of them. You're like, woo, look at me.
Right.
I'm hot. What is that?
What I kind of was trying to hit on to you in the mom bod article was that the mom bod is not a specific body type because no woman looks the same. The mom bod is a movement for female body acceptance, for being proud of your body, whether you've had a child or not. You know, I used to struggle really bad with my self-image, especially as a female. And my mom helped me get through a lot of that. And ultimately, I think that the mom bod is more of a movement than it is actually a physical body type.
Well, have you seen, I don't know if they're, actually, I don't think they're connected because your article was May 11th, I think. But there's this other movement that's happening, these women that are taking pictures of their stretch marks and their bodies and putting them on Instagram and social media and trying to, you know, make a statement that they're proud of who they are. And it saddens me that I don't feel like it's taking off the same way that the dad, I mean, we're like Jackie said, we're celebrating these man boobs and,
right.
And it's amazing.
Nobody's celebrating boobs. I'm sorry. Nobody.
But I just, go ahead.
I was going to say too, it's been really interesting too, because the dad bod, as lighthearted and as fun as it was, brought to my own attention, just men that were messaging me or boys or guys in general that said, I'm insecure, but in the society that we're in, we feel pressure not to feel insecure, not to be able to talk about the insecurities about our body, whereas we as women are so reinforcing of others, of you're beautiful, you have a great body, that it surprised me to see how many men struggle with their self-image as well. And so I think for that, it almost was the guys that had been struggling with that self-image took that as momentum, and it really propelled that. And I think as the mom bod, we have a lot going on, and I think the guys are kind of interested in the self-image of themselves.
I love that perspective.
And what that article did.
Well, I think that we don't realize how much we objectify men. I mean, it's just we objectify them differently. Mm-hmm. But in my other life, when I'm not doing broadcasts, I run a nonprofit organization that does counseling for kids. And we have a male issues group, and one of my staff did a topic that said, "What are your biggest insecurities?" And all the boys had to write something down on their own sheet and then come together as a group and share. There were 9, maybe 10 kids in the group. Every single one of those kids, independently of the others, wrote down that they had body image issues.
Wow.
And they were struggling with whether or not they were too fat, they didn't have enough muscle, they were too skinny. And my female facilitator was really surprised with unanimously 10 boys all saying that they struggle. And I think that we forget, you know, that we have to be celebrating boys' bodies, that came out wrong, but we have to be celebrating the acceptance of boys and their bodies, just like we're asking women and young girls to do.
I think we need to start a new movement. And I think, you know, from 19 to 44 here, that it's the human bod. It's the human bod, mm-hmm. and we are who we are. We should be healthy, and we should be as strong as possible, but we are good enough, and we are beautiful, mm-hmm. whether you're a man or a woman. And I know I feel like Norma Rae now.
No, Stuart Smalley, I just was feeling like.
No, but I think that's important. And I think that, you know, at 19 years old, and I don't mean to keep harping on that, but what's fascinating to me that at 19, I was so confused and I wasn't able to express myself. And so I love that you have the internet and you have your writing available to you to connect with other people. And you have a huge future in front of you. And I just think keep doing what you're doing and keep, you know, talking about the things that really, matter to people, you know, and in a playful and in a fun and effective. Also in a, an effective and meaningful way. You should be really proud of what you're doing. And I think that, you know,
thank you.
You know, keep going.
Yeah, I mean,
we would love to have you back.
I talked to my parents about this obviously a lot, but I said it's been fascinating because I used to just write because I'm pre-med actually in school. And so I have a lot of weight on me with school. And I used to write as a creative outlet, something that kind of released that tension that was going on. And to be able to write and then suddenly people relate to it and suddenly hearing the stories of the people that are reading what I wrote and something that was never intended to go this wide, not this many people. I never expected this many people would ever read my writing and be in contact with me.
Well,
that is really incredible.
Well, keep up the good work.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
We're really proud of you, Mackenzie. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with us.
Yeah. Thanks so much. We'll be
right
back.
Thank you so much.
Okay. After coming up, Broad of the Week, right?
Oh, right. We're already at that time.
Okay. Broad of the Week. We'll be right back.
When Broadcast was looking to relaunch our website, we knew exactly who to call. The team at Stark Social Media.
At Stark Social, they understand the importance of a strong online presence.
From marketing and branding, web design, and social media, the in-house team listens to their clients' needs and budget and responds with a tailor-made plan for your small business, nonprofit, or startup.
Stark Social's philosophy is simple, do good work, and they live by that philosophy every day.
Stand out from the competition and contact Stark Social Media today at starksocial.com.
You're listening to Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall, the most riveting hour of radio ever.
Welcome back to Broadcast on KHTS, our final segment. So in just a second, we're going to announce our Broad of the Week, but I wanted to bring up a story. There was an image posted on Imgur. And it's gone viral. Like this week is all about those stories that have gone viral.
You know, back in the day that used to mean like an STD. Right?
Exactly.
So I just think it's funny how far we've come.
Yeah. So this person posts a picture of a college professor holding a baby. And she writes, so one of the students came with her kid because she didn't have a babysitter. The kid starts to cry in the middle of the class. So his mom, all embarrassed, gets up to leave. And the professor took the kid from her, calmed him, and continued teaching. And so the image that's everywhere is this image of this professor holding this baby, and the baby's just chill, you know, and he's continues teaching. And I just, kudos to him. He should be our bro of the week,
right?
You know, because it's hard. It's hard to do it all. And here's obviously, you know, probably a young woman who feels like she can't balance being a mom and being a student. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, if we had more people like that who went out of their way to just go, hey, not a big deal.
Right.
Let me help you out.
Right. No, I think it's great. I think, you know, I've always been someone who talks about being tolerant of each other as opposed to casting judgment and, you know, denigrating someone for wanting to be better and do better. And, you know, as a single parent, it's hard to manage and balance. And you don't always have sitters, and they flake on you sometimes. And, I mean, I did it the other night. I went to an event, and I had to bring my kid with me. And I was so grateful that nobody looked negatively on me. I'm trying to be professional here. I'm toting my little kid behind me. But right. I don't.
And you always have, and he's the best kid ever because he just goes with it.
Right, but I just mean in general, there are people that are not – look at the airline that kicked a kid off the plane, right? So we obviously can notice that people are not always tolerant of each other's special needs, regardless if you're on the spectrum or you have other needs that put you in a position.
Absolutely. If we could just reach out and make a connection with somebody or just lend a helping hand, I just think – small acts of kindness are just, they go such a long way. But Okay, so now on to, maybe you've heard of Melissa Lay, maybe you don't even know her name, but she is an Etsy shop owner and also a stay-at-home mom, and she makes tanks and tees and cool little designs. And she got a text or message from one of her friends and showing her a picture of her design, which is, shows hashtag America, on with a flag, a black and white shirt.
It's
and
America.
America. And so she got this photo of her shirt being sold in Target. Oh, her design.
Thieves.
Her design. Her shirts go for $25 on Etsy. And
so Target just stole it for how much?
They sell it for $12.99.
Oh.
So imagine,
I've had my idea stolen before. I mean, you work in Hollywood. Sometimes that happens. But this is like a blatant.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish that she could say, what's that imitation is a form of flattery or something.
Not when it takes money out of your kid's mouth. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Tatia, do you have an opinion about this?
I think that's like ridiculous. I hope that Target's actually, I know they're taking it out of their stores and like stopping.
Yeah, so Target,
but, like,
they announced
actually
Tuesday.
Compensate her.
Yeah, right?
Because they like, from the looks of it, the picture of the shirt that they were selling and the one that she sells is the exact same.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just blatant steal.
Target's is like, but Target's is a little distressed, where hers is a better quality. But the funny thing, all right, so Sandy Lake Clothing, Sandilake Clothing. It's on Etsy, it's on Facebook, it's just got to give her a little plug here. But she fought, she's 27, I believe, or in her 20s, mom, at home.
Fighting the big dog.
Yeah. Fighting Target. First of all, I give a lot of credit to Target, too, for conceding. Listening.
Didn't this happen to them? Didn't this happen with something else?
But they also buy from vendors and things like that. Like, they don't. I don't know the process, but I don't think, like, the CEO of Target was like, hey, we should take that design. I think there are a lot of people that it goes through. Where you just think they don't, I don't know that they necessarily knew about it, but I just think that Melissa, she's definitely our broad of the week because she didn't give up with the platform we have with social media and the internet and the ability to get your story out there and to fight the good fight. Right. She did. And she was on the Today Show and she, so broad of the week.
Congratulations, Melissa.
She's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I just think, she should be proud of herself because I think if more people stood up instead of just took,
be intimidated by a big, huge company
and all their lawyers and how much, imagine 20 years ago, she would have, it's all about the lawyers and this and that. Like, she wouldn't have been able to just post about it and
trying to find them in the phone book.
Right. But,
faxing and paging. Yeah.
And so it's such a great time in that while the internet can be, so painful, it's also a platform for people who wouldn't otherwise have that opportunity, And Tatiana, you're growing up, in a time where you don't remember probably life without the internet.
I was thinking about that the other day. I really do not remember life without the internet, my phone.
Well, speaking of the internet, find us at broadcast.com. We will see you next week. That's it. We're out. Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you later.